did everyone say the email that I sent just about 15 minutes ago?
Yes.
Yep.
That was taking the paper that Jackie sent us a couple days ago and going through and making a few small changes to that. So I'm guessing that is our most recent version of everything, unless anyone else is working on changes at the same time. Should we just do what we've done at the last few calls, just kind of go through?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, just scrolling through and kind of skimming comments. It looks like still the most important thing to go to. There was a comment about, I'm looking at what says CT10 in the data coding section, comment in section 3.3, about modifying that paragraph to justify why we use grounded theory as opposed to qualitative methods.
That was supposed to be me, sorry.
You think you can work on that this week? Or
yeah, I'm sorry. The accreditation stuff kind of took over this week. So.
That is understandable. All right, so we'll table that one for now and come back to it later. Did anybody else get a chance to just kind of go through and look at the results section? I think that was a part of our plan from last time, just try and look at the results section with fresh eyes and think about, you know, is this what we needed, what do we see out of this, were there other results we wanted, that sort of thing.
I did not look at the paper this week. I was had my own exams, and that was what I spent most of my week on.
Okay.
So I'll have time to look at it this week, but I did not have time the past week.
I did go through and make a series of comments. I looked at the tables in the testing environment results. Actually, I looked at all the tables in both the testing environment and the interview results. And so I made some comments going throughout, just kind of as I was looking at them, my thoughts. So it's almost a stream of consciousness. They're not really well-formed thoughts. It's just... So, yeah, it was just kind of what I was looking at and what I was hypothesizing as I was going through. So you guys can see that. And then I guess if people agree with some of this stuff and think it's important, we can think about looking at it in terms of the discussion. I still haven't quite married the results section and the discussion yet. I've looked through both of them, but I haven't made sure that everything that we should discuss about the tables is, in fact, in the discussion yet. I've still just been kind of reading through what we have without really thinking critically about what more needs to go in. So I won't reiterate kind of each of my comments there. I'll let you each take a look at them. You can also feel free to... I, at one point, just copied and pasted the results into a new document and deleted all the comments so I could go through and look at them without seeing the comments along the side, so that way you guys can look at it and get your own take. I don't always want it to be my take on the analyses because I'm not always sure I'm looking at the right thing. So scrolling through, any comments, questions on tables, anything along those lines?
I just was thinking, I didn't know if we wanted to add a table, and this is mainly because of the expected results that we edited a little bit, that if we just wanted to actually look at if the students agreed or disagreed with the conclusion. Like, you know, when they do actually use random sampling, how many of them actually agree with it, and kind of vice versa.
Do you mean how many of them think it's valid, how many of them don't?
Correct.
Okay, so not, all right, that makes sense. We don't actually have that coded, though, do we?
I thought it was in the overall, but I could be wrong.
Whether or not they agreed or disagreed with the results?
Yeah.
I have that in my I have that in my SAS code. I was using that as a sorter of sorts.
Well, do you mean their opinion on the opinion survey or their actual response, whether they said, yes, this is valid, no, this is not?
Yes, this is valid, no, it is not.
Oh, that I do not have in the SAS stuff.
That's what I was afraid of. So then we have to think if we want to go back and add that data in.
What were you thinking we would get out of that, Jackie?
Well, I was just wondering with the way that we've organized the expected results now, if that's almost something you'd be looking for.
Because the expected results kind of say student believes conclusion is valid.
Mm-hmm.
Thus they believe the study is good, right? I will make a comment to that effect at the expected results table. As I remember where it is, you insert comment.
Do you think we could pull that out of our codes?
I was wondering that.
Like, we wouldn't have given them that they used ideas correctly. Because we do have coded what kind of scenario they had. And I do have coded whether they agreed or disagreed. That I can pull directly out of the SAS. I'm wondering if somehow we can use the codes to get the rest of it without having to go back through all of our data.
All right, I just added a comment in section 3.4 back at the expected results. I highlighted the sentence, student believes in cell one, student believes conclusion is valid because they agree with it. And then I added a comment, do we need to add a table that addresses whether or not they thought the conclusion was valid? Can we get this information from our code?
Wasn't trying to be a pain.
I think.
No. Yeah.
If we gave them an MC or an R, I think the MMs are, well, we wouldn't have given them an MM if they hadn't had a correct response, right? Maybe we can look at a subset of our data and see which codes went with, I don't know. I know I don't want to go back through all the results.
Yeah.
Well, that's something we could always wait to add if someone makes a comment about it, too. I don't know how much we need it, but.
Well, I mean, we're saying we just need to go through and figure out if they said that the conclusion was valid or invalid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, worst comes to worst. I mean, you're just talking about kind of skimming student responses, and I mean, we could all take, I mean, I know it's a lot of responses to read through, but
well,
I don't think it would take that long. I mean, I'm not in favor of doing it, but if we needed to do it, we could do it.
What do you guys think? Do you think that's a table we need? I didn't know if we wanted to reproduce table three almost in a sense to see what percent of the students did actually believe the conclusion was valid, like in the upper left-hand corner, and that type of idea.
The follow-up statement to that is that they believe that the study is good. And the follow-up statement to them not believing the conclusion is valid is that they believe the study is poorly designed, which we may be able to reconstruct that information, certainly, from our existing codes without having to go back and add anything new. So we could focus on that side of it. You know, if we know the study used random sampling methods, but they're saying it's a biased study, then they wouldn't have gotten everything correct, like Tara was saying, basically. So if they're saying if it was a random sample, but they're trying to say it's biased, their coding set for one wouldn't be all correct.
It would be either a zero or a P.
Yeah. And then the flip side would be true, too, if they use. And I think that's sort of what I said down in the paragraph after that table, where you might see a higher percentage of correct reasoning in the first and fourth cells of table three, but a lower percentage of correct reasoning in the second and third cells of the table. So we could use that as our proxy for getting at whether or not they thought it was valid without having to go back and look at all that data again.
We could come up with the codes that we think would satisfy each of the cells, and then we could just do a subset of the data and see if it matches what we're thinking. Look through some results just to confirm.
That's a good idea. Excuse me.
I just pulled up like a set of my responses, and I don't know how easy your guys would be, but for almost all of mine, I could just look at the first word and know. Yes. No. Yes.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking, is that, you know, skimming it and just...
What about the ones, though, who used yes or no but didn't really answer the question that we asked? You know, you always have students who will be like, yes, but then their reasoning is completely different. It goes with a no response, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the whole point is, do they think it's a valid conclusion? Not what they're saying is agreeing with what we believe they're saying. Isn't it their opinion we care about?
I think the cases Tara was talking about were the reasons we decided not to collect that information in the first place. I don't know, maybe. I don't know how hard it would be to do.
Because, I mean, I guess I'm saying if you can just get that information from the codes alone, I don't feel like it's really a new table. If it's just re-summarizing the same information we already have summarized elsewhere.
Yeah. My thought, which I haven't actually done yet, but my thought was to look at table 9, 10, and 11, which is where we actually just present the codes, and look to see, you know, mapping the cells the way I referenced them in table 3. The top row is cells 1 and 2. The middle row is cells 3 and 4. And then the bottom row is cells 5 and 6. But I don't think those really matter much. actually going through and looking at tables 9, 10, and 11 and seeing, well, is there a higher percentage of P's in this cell as compared to that one? And I have to remember what I said in my expectations again. Higher percentage of correct reasoning in the first and fourth cells. So just looking at the codes for the luggage scenario. Correct reasoning. Compared to second and third cells. One of the issues we're going to have to come up with is deciding how an MM gets counted. Is an MM counted as correct reasoning and incorrect reasoning? Or is it counted as, is it not counted? What do we do with it?
Well, that's why maybe we did break it up the way that we did. Right, because they can be have some things that are correct and incorrect. Do they want to just force them in one group or have them double count? I don't know.
Well, if they double count and we're comparing them, don't they just wash each other out?
And so we could just do an overall comparison of all correct reasoning versus all incorrect reasoning. So just focusing on the first question alone, you think?
Yeah, and then what do we do with zeros? Are zeros correct or incorrect? I mean, they're, to some extent, they're incorrect because they didn't include the relevant information, but you know, I'm running into issues. This is coming up in the tuition scenario, looking at table 10, because we have mostly zeros for coding set 1 in the tuition scenario. So do we count those as incorrect reasoning, or do we not count those again?
I would think if it's a zero with a context second one, then I'd probably put it as incorrect. But otherwise, I don't think we know.
Well, we know if we have a zero with a US, that was a p-value response.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all that they gave us. So for our purposes, it's not something we could use, really.
Right.
What about the mixed ones, the zeros with the MBs?
I mean, that does include some context.
Right. What would be an example of a U-U-S for the tuition one? I'm trying to think. The U-S almost always meant that they had the p-value.
Yeah.
The U meant... one idea used correctly. So I guess those we can use in that one.
Yeah, so they could have, I imagine there were probably some people that commented on, you know, yes, this is a random sample and the p-value is statistically significant, that sort of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. one of the things that makes the existing using existing tables difficult is because we just include the percentages for tables 9, 10, and 11, not the sample sizes, you can't aggregate in any way. So one thing we could do, if we can decide, if we can decide what to do with the MMs and what to do with the zeros for coding set one, then Tara could just run the numbers for us and get us the appropriate tables. So do we consider, do we count, I mean, MM includes some correct reasoning and some incorrect reasoning, so do we just go ahead and count them in both?
I think, like you said, they'll just discount each other, so might as well just note that this many out of this many students had a mixture and that we didn't include them.
And then what about the suggestion for the zeros where we say, well, if it's a zero with a context, which I would also take an MB. So I'd take either 0, UC, MC, or MB. Does that go towards incorrect reasoning, but the S's don't necessarily, yeah. I don't know. Part of this is thinking, part of my expectations here were thinking about, like, why they might be using statistical reasoning. So I would still include the S's, I think.
But we've already talked in the discussion section about that tuition problem and how they used the p-value that was the overriding choice. And we already have that included in our discussion. Do we need to address it further?
Well, what I'm thinking, I guess, I think the problem is ultimately if someone has a zero for coding set one, and everything is irrelevant. We can't tell if they're using irrelevant arguments to support the conclusion or to argue with the conclusion. And that's what Table 3 is starting to get at now. You know, did they use a zero, you know, did they use a zero US to argue with the conclusion and say, no, it was a bad study? Because that could have been the sample size argument, too, for some of the other scenarios. Or did they use a zero US to support the conclusion? And that's what we need to know. So unfortunately, we can't, from the existing coding set, tell whether a zero belongs in good reasoning or in a correct response or an incorrect response in terms of whether or not they supported the conclusion of a random sample versus not supporting the conclusion of a biased sample. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think, unfortunately, we might have to go back and actually look at whether they actually said valid or invalid. Or what we can do, let's set that aside right now. Let's not worry about that at the moment. Let's deal with what we already have on the table. We don't have to get out a perfect paper. We have to get out a very good paper. We have to get out a reasonable paper. So we could, like Jackie suggested, hold on to that until, it, like, if a reviewer comments on it. Or we can just wait and see and finish sorting out what we have and then decide if we really need that or can we work with what we have, you know, can we come up with something that's reasonable given the codes we have.
I mean, it could be boiled down to that for some of them we can tell, but we have to look up all the zero students. I mean, that just might be what it boils down to.
When
Sarah,
we did,
do you, Do you have a spreadsheet with everyone's name and their institution and all of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have it. It's an Excel spreadsheet. That's what I read into SAS.
Okay. And we have, I think we all have scanned copies of each other's data, right?
You should.
So the ones that we did together, but there was stuff at the end that we each did separately because we thought that we had enough agreement in our codes.
I'm wondering if there's some way, I don't know, but I'm wondering if there's some way I can leverage graduate student power here to get us the data without us having to actually go back and look at it. All right. I'm looking at what I have. I have a document that says luggage Lee consent. So that's just the luggage one. Yeah, it looks like it's just the luggage one. I have a lot of, I guess, yeah, all I have is the luggage data. I don't have any of the other data from other people. Or at least it's not in the file with my raw data stuff. Do you guys have scanned copies of your original data or no?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I have some scanned. I don't have it all scanned. Some of it I just used the photocopies of the tests. All right. I can scan it. I mean, I could. It would be faster if I wait till I get to work on Monday to scan it. My scanner here will take a long time to do them all.
Yeah. Are they alphabetized in your scans? For those of you that have them already, do you know?
No.
Oh, no idea.
All right. Let's hold off on this for now. Let's go through what we already have in front of us on paper and make an honest assessment of that, what we feel. See if we feel there's holes in that. And then I will also do some investigating on my end, see if I can get some grad students to help. Part of the issue is I don't have any money to give them, but some of them are being supported on TAs for other classes that aren't really doing a lot of work. So I might be able to give them this as kind of a side project through their TA thing. But I have to look into that and make sure that that's possible. And I will let you guys know next week about that. So let's not worry about it right now because we all have enough on our plate and we have a lot in front of us still. Does that sound good?
Yep. Yeah, I'm just thinking that remember when you did that whole spreadsheet that had the green and the gray and the, all that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, and you had included in the expectations table originally, I thought that this cell, like, we won't be able to tell because blah, blah, blah. Do you remember?
With the codes, yeah.
Is it really worth it to go back and pull that data? If, I mean, because we all stated that we wouldn't be able to tell whether they believed the conclusion was valid because they agreed with it or because they had sound statistical principles looking at cell one, because we didn't have enough data, enough detailed responses. So I'm just wondering, is it worth it?
I'm not sure. That's part of the reason I'm saying. But one of the things, so in the new way I've written the expectations, I've written it as, you know, this is purely speculative. Like, we don't have enough information or there is this sort of more subtle confirmation belief bias that we could see. And I kind of present it as we don't know which way this would go, but if we were to see this sort of pattern, it might be indicative of confirmation and belief bias. If we don't see that pattern, then I don't know. So, yeah, it was the way it was stated in the expectations, it was sort of a speculative hypothesis to begin with. I don't know if it's worth putting a lot of effort into investigating it.
Well,
that's something we need to think about. And
if you look back at the table that had all the colors in it,
mm-hmm.
underneath each of the rows where you had the key,
yeah.
Do you disagree with those now based on the expectations that you updated?
I think what might be happening is that some of the medium tones of red,
mm-hmm.
the lightest red and then the next category but not the darkest red,
right.
may now actually be a lighter green. I think my expectations are shifting to think that, well, they might pick apart the study design, them saying, well, the sample size is too small. We took that as this is a really common misconception that students have. It's not connected to selection, or it's incorrect reasoning about selection, about sampling, which it very well could have been. But another way to think about it is, well, if they didn't believe in the study or they didn't believe the conclusion, then they would be looking for something to pick apart. So you could have, in theory, given the same student, kind of the same study, one where the conclusion agrees with their opinion, one where it doesn't. And in the case where the conclusion didn't agree, they would have said, oh, well, that sample size is too small. It doesn't tell us anything. But in the other one where the conclusion did agree, they might be like, well, yeah, that sounds, that's perfectly reasonable, even if it was the same sample size. You know what I'm saying? Like, they might have picked on sample size because they were looking for something to pick on. And unfortunately, there's really no way for us to tell if it's because they misunderstood or if it's because they disagreed with the conclusion. So that's why I say it is speculative. We can't, given the information we have in the testing environment scenario, we can't tease those two explanations apart. They're confounded. But we could always... I don't know, we could say that this might be evidence. It's a question of, do we want to present something that we know going in is speculative, isn't really firm one way or the other? Or is it, it might very well not be worth our time at this point.
Because I seem to recall we had all these discussions when we're looking at all this hierarchy, and I thought that was why we went with the analyses that we did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very little time to write a new SAS program to do more analysis. That's no big deal.
Yeah.
It seems silly to spend the time if we're going to just come back to where we were a year ago when we started doing all this analysis.
That is a very good point.
Fine, I agree. Ignore me temporarily and we can move on. Because I, the one that needs to get the paper out, should not be trying to take this longer.
Well, we could always, that could be a question that we ask the RAB, too, because we said we were going to send it to them before we submitted it. We could always ask them if they think that's a table that we need once they've read it.
That's a really good idea.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Like I said, I already have a comment on the expectations table. I will add that to the comment. I lost the expectations table. Where did it go?
Yes, I am sorry for bringing it up.
No, it's a good point. Something we need to ask.
Do we want to go back in the expected results and add in some of that other stuff that Herla had? I think this, what you have now for cell 1 through cell 6, that's kind of shortened from your original proposed version, right?
Yeah.
Do we want to go back? Because it's also not, the original stuff also isn't in the paragraph under it. Do we want to go back and add some of that in about how it is going to be difficult to determine? Or do we want to still do, do we want that in the discussion?
I think if we have the paragraphs there, it might explain why we don't have a table later.
You think it's appropriate to have the explanation there, though? Or would it be more appropriate to have it under the discussion and explain why the table's not there under the discussion part?
This is going to sound funny, but I would say the discussion, because otherwise I think if we already had it in the expected results, they would wonder why we designed the study the way we did. It almost makes it sound like then that we knew that we weren't going to be able to distinguish between this, so why did we do this?
Well, we said we were going to talk about that in our limitations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I do, I agree with Jackie. And I thought that there's a paragraph that got added to the conclusion that I had a similar sense when I was reading it about future directions and ways to investigate that. And I kind of felt like the way it was worded, it almost came off like, well, why didn't we just do that in the first place? So I tried to go back in and add a paragraph about why we did do what we did, and then why and how we noticed that fell apart.
All right. Should we go down to the results section? It's 10:30.
Yes. So in section 4.3, then, I added the what scenario it was and put them in order.
That looks good. Like I said, I went through tables 5, 6, 7, and 8 and just started making some comments.
Do you want to add overalls to these? I saw later that you said to take out the overall. Do
we
want?
I actually want to talk about that table a little bit that currently has the overall in it. As I was going back and looking at it again, I realized I really don't understand what that table is. So maybe we should look at that real quick. So this is table 12. I tried to make the column headings consistent with, I'm sorry, not the column headings, the row headings consistent with what we had in all of the previous tables. And then as I went through, I realized I don't know what the row none is. And I don't know really what these numbers are summarizing. I did understand what the overalls were, that you had a row total and then a column total. So looking at table 12, the first cell, bias, student has strong opinion with which the study conclusion agrees. Three what? There were three students who got a testing scenario. Is this across all of the different scenarios? Is it looking at a particular? I really had no idea where these numbers were coming from.
That's because we pulled apart. Let me pull up my original thing. Originally, when I did the interview write-up, I included my discussion and my tables all together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now we've pulled it apart enough that maybe individually it doesn't make sense. My computer keeps freezing. Hold on, I'm frozen.
Well, there might be one that we just want to make look more like Table A, then, where it has number of students out of how many that had the context in something.
Yeah, but when you look, the sample size just seems...
This is just the students had both interview and testing results.
Right.
Okay. So I did not pick that up. We haven't made that subset yet, I don't think, yet. I think we definitely need to state that for those students who were interviewed, we looked at their testing scenario and their interview. And then is this aggregated across the testing scenarios and aggregated across the interview scenarios?
Yes, hold on. I'm still trying to find the original thing. Jackie, you don't have it in original form before we split it up, do you? I think it's on my work computer. I think I did that when my students were taking.
I don't think I do. So, Herla, where we have the table 12 to the comparison part, you think right there we should make sure it's more clear that it's just the students?
Yes. And also, if we know it's aggregated across the scenarios, we need to make clear that it's aggregated across the scenarios. Which I would think if it were aggregated across the scenarios, all of these numbers should be higher. Because we had... I moved it.
So we only had 16 students for which we had interviews for.
Right.
Right. But yeah. When you aggregate across the scenarios, we had... They had 46 test scenarios and 32 interview scenarios. So this is either, it seems to me like this is either pulling a particular scenario or...
It wasn't pulling a particular scenario.
I would expect these numbers to be a little bit higher than, even when you factor in that some of the opinions aren't represented because we didn't use the three
I think that's what the none is.
Is that what the none is?
Yeah.
I was wondering about
it's
that.
It's pulling the table that I sent you the other, like a couple of conference calls ago, that has all the interview and tests combined. And then it has cells highlighted. Some are highlighted in like a pinkish color. Some are highlighted in blue. It's summarizing that table.
So look at this one, not the other one, that sort of thing?
Yes. Yeah, the one that has all the colors in it. And I'm trying to find the original write-up that combined everything. I think that will make it clear, and then I can go back and fix it. So,
I mean, there were just a total of the 16 students. They each got three testing scenarios. We had a potential 48 test scenarios, but there were a couple of them that had just the blank answers.
Right.
They couldn't really be classified anywhere, and they don't write anything down. And then each of our 16 students did two interview scenarios. So that's why you're getting 32 there.
Thank you. Please stand by.